Thank you, Kevin. We'd all be in a fix were it not for grace. Amen. Our privilege tonight to have Brother Gene Googe back with us. Brother Googe has been with us before, but it's been several years. And he's one of the favorite of the young people. We generally bring our schools in on one, well, I think both mornings, maybe Tuesday and Wednesday morning. We bring them in, and one of their favorites to hear was Brother Googe during those years. He's been at Liberty Baptist in Hickory, North Carolina, 36 years. That's good. That's a great record there, doing a great job. They built a new building and everything here in the last short while. And he's just one of our favorite preachers, and we're so glad he could make the conference for us. And we were going to ask him to come and kick it off tonight with the first message. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Amen. It's a real blessing. If you have your Bible, open up with us to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. It's a real joy to be here and looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do. And appreciate the privilege and appreciate the opportunity. And that Dr. Carter has asked us to come and be here. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13 tonight. I got so many things up here in my Bible, I can't really find out where I'm at. Acts chapter number 13. But it is a real honor. And boy, I'll tell you what, I appreciate it as an honor. I don't know. Sometimes when you're at a church for a long time, the Bible says a prophet's not without honor, saving his own country among his own kin and family. And a lot of time when you got a man that's been in the church for a long time, you know, get some new face. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're so excited about hearing him. But that old man of God that's just been a laboring and just been a plowing and a planting for all them years. A lot of time you just kind of just wink and nod and fall asleep and just take for granted. And it was an honor this morning to be able to sit under Dr. Carter this morning, listen to the Sunday school lesson. And also listen to a great message. As a matter of fact, I told him going out to dinner, I said, God gave me a message off of what you preached, because he preached about the chickens coming home to roost. And he said, what's that? I said, well, God gave me a message on the subject just cleaning out the hen house. I mean, I got chickens. I got some chickens. While back, I mean, really, I'm all for. I'm not against education. Don't misunderstand me. I'm all for education. Get all you can get, count all you can get, all that kind of stuff. But you can learn a whole lot more on a farm than you can in a college. I mean, all kinds about life. And a while back, I went and bought me a cow, and my grandkids named it Hamburger. And it is Hamburger now. And then I bought me a bunch of chickens, and my grandchildren named them. They are Chicken Nuggets. And every once in a while, they'll lay a little nugget. If a varmint don't get the eggs first. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to progress on with this. So I went and bought me two pigs. I'm serious, folks. You can learn a lot with pigs. I named them. It was a male and a female, and I named him Bernie, and I named her Hillary. I don't know why. Just seemed appropriate to me. And I wanted to progress my education, so I went and bought two sheep. One of them's a male, and I did. I've got two sheep right now. Now, Bernie, he's one of the best-tasting communists you'll ever meet. I can tell you that right now. But I bought me two sheep, and I named them Mercy and Grace. And mercy needs mercy. And the shepherds used the staff. You know, to correct the sheep, I found something better than a staff. It's called a, what is that thing? Yeah, zapper. What do you call it? Not a, well, whatever it is, he don't like it. He don't like it. But anyway, I got these bunch of chickens and everything, and a while back, and you young preachers, you're going to have to learn how to do this, because if you're ever going to pastor a Baptist church, you got to learn how to do this. And so I got me a shovel. And I got in the hen house, and I scooped up about 250-pound bags of chicken poop. Now, the Bible calls that dung. My daddy would have called it something else, but my daddy was just an old-fashioned type feller. And But anyway, if you did not, I mean, them chickens, like the preacher was talking about, they go roost in the same place every night. And I'm telling you, all night long, they drop stuff. And if you did not go in there with a shovel and clean out the hen house, eventually there would be no room for the chickens to roost. And I mean, we need to every once in a while clean out the hen house. Amen? And I said all that to say this. Y'all thank God you got a good... one thing I like about coming back, the church, as far as I can tell, has not changed. I like it. Same old-fashioned music, same... I mean, I like that. I go to churches all the time, and if you ain't been there in so many years, Lord have mercy, it's gone so liberal. And I mean, I can't stand it. And then I got to listen to Dr. Carter this morning. Man, just right on. I can't stand these little pussyfooting, back-scratching, ear-tickling, compromising, coexisting, conforming, hold everybody's hand, tiptoeing, you know, I mean, manicured ministers, puppet preachers, these Playboy preachers that wear pink. I'm just making sure I was okay up here. Thank God for an old man. I didn't say old. I said an old man of God that'll still plow the field. That's what I like to hear. I like to hear a man like an ox in a cornfield, man, just drop the plow and plow. It doesn't matter what or who gets in the way. Just mow. If they don't get out of the way, just mow right over them. I like it. I like a man that's going to look you right square in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, toenail to toenail, cheek to cheek, chin to chin, point that bony finger right in your face and tell you the truth. You don't never have to worry about somebody like that. Amen? I ain't never one time heard Joel Osteen preach. But he can't be a God. Can't be. Anybody that makes that much money and got a pudding grin from ear to ear and has that much hair, he can't be of God. Ain't no way he can be of God. But I want to tell you something. You ought to thank God you got a good preacher. Some of you young preachers, you need to pattern your life after a mentor and a hero that's been faithful to the Word of God. It's been faithful to just plow in that field and been faithful, regardless of what the price or the cost may be, it's just going to be faithful. Amen? I appreciate you, preacher. And I appreciate you sticking by the stuff. Acts chapter number 13, look in verse number 13. Now, the preacher told me to preach somewhere between 40 and 45 minutes, so I will get you out of here right about 20 after. Good enough, preacher? All right. Acts chapter number 13. I'm going to read verse 13 down to about verse number 15. And I'm going to preach on the subject of just say on. And I'm not sure I'll get to it or not. And if I don't get to it, you can invite me back and I'll preach it again. But I'm going to read verses 13 down about the end of verse 15. Then I'm going to ask my friend, Brother Carl Pepper, one of the men from our church, to stand and lead us to the Lord in prayer. And I want to preach on the subject of just say on. Look in verse number 13 of chapter number 13, the book of Acts. Somebody beside you doesn't have a copy of the Word of God. If you let them look on with you, I'm sure it'll be a help and a blessing. The Bible said, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and now you... Some of you educated people, you're probably a whole lot better at these words than I am, so you overlook me. They came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, that's John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, and that's what I'm trying to do tonight, I just want to exhort you. If you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. I want to preach on that subject of, if I can get to it tonight, I don't know, on the subject of just say on. Preacher Brother Carl, why don't you stand and lead us to the Lord in prayer? Yes, Father. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us, challenge us. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Now I'm taking my text and my thought on them two little words there at the end of verse number 15, chapter number 13, the book of Acts, and just going to preach just a little bit, and I don't know if I'll get to it or not on the subject of just say on. And the theme of the Bible conference here is just armor up. Armor up for the battle, and I like that. I think it's very appropriate, and seeing that this coming Saturday and this coming weekend, we're going to be celebrating what we call in America as Veterans Day. And I want to say this, I thank God for our veterans. I thank God for every man and every woman that wore the uniform and has served in America and served in our armed forces and served in this country and have given their life and maybe even literally given their blood for the liberty and the freedom that you and I, we enjoy in this day and time that we're living in. I don't know about you, but I love my nation. I believe I'm in good care, in good place here today. I love my nation. I love my country. Hey, I've been halfway around. I've been to Cuba. I've been to China. I've been to these stinking communist countries. And brother, I want to tell you, America is, Donald Trump didn't make America great, and I voted for him. I want to tell you, it was the God of America and the God of that Bible that made America great. I want to say, brother, I still believe with all of my heart and all of my mind, America still is the greatest country on the face of God's green earth. Amen. Ain't no country like America. Amen. I'm thankful that God let me be born and live in this country. Now, I'm going to say something, preacher. You just say no and I'll move on. I'm good at that. I've learned how to move on. But all this NFL, and I'm being real courteous. If I was at my church, I'd say a little bit more blunt than that. This NFL, these dudes here that won't, that bow the knee and won't reverence and respect our flag and our national anthem, they're a bunch of spoiled, rotten, ungrateful, bunch of little sissies. Hey, I agree with the president. I think they ought to be fired. I can't say it in the language he said it. How about, I'm like the old Quaker that was went out one morning and he's milking his cow, and his cow's name was Bossy, and he sat down there and he took that cow and began to milk that cow. And about that time, old Bossy picked her foot up, knocked the pail over, and he reached down, set the pail up, and began to milk. Some of you don't know what that is, do you? And milked that cow again. And the cow picked his leg up and knocked the bucket of milk over. Well, he picked the bucket up again and it began to milk. And about that time, old Bossy picked up her leg and knocked the bucket over again. And the old Quaker said this, "Oh, Bossy, thou knowest that I am a Quaker and I cannot curse thee, but I can sell thee to a Baptist that can." I cannot use the language, brother, pastor, that Donald Trump used, but I want to say this, I agree with him 100%. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. Thank God I'm glad. And brother, the theme of the Bible conference is just armor up for the battle. There are some things worth fighting over. You know that, don't you? Hey, folks, we are in. Hey, I don't believe I have a hard time convincing any of you this, but we're in a battle. There is a war. There is a war that is raging right here in America. And what the pastor talked about a little while ago that happened to that church in Texas, brother, if the Lord don't come back and get us, it's going to happen all across America. I can tell you what them little lost up there'd be. I told you, pastor, but I ain't going to tell you. Amen. Hey, folks, we're in a battle. The heathen are raging. They're not just angry anymore. It's a rage. It's an uncontrollable. This world hates our God. This world doesn't hate God. This world hates our God. I'm talking about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm talking about the God of creation. I'm talking about the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the God that sent His Son. I mean, to leave the splendor of heaven and come to this. This world hates our God, and it hates our Bible, and it hates Christianity, and this world has declared war on you and me and on the church of the living God. Every day I pray. I mean, very seldom ever does a day pass I don't pray and ask God to fill me with the Spirit of God. I mean, to give me eyes that I can see through the darkness, and give me ears that I can hear the voice of God, and give me a heart of discernment that I can know how to choose the good and refuse the evil. Give me feet that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And brother, give me a mouth and a tongue that'll declare His word. And give me hands that'll worship, and hands that'll help. And give me fists that'll fight the good fight of faith. Hey, if you are going to armor up, you're gonna have to be willing to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm here to tell you, folks, one of the problems in our day and time, we've lost our fight. We've lost our fight. Amen. I want to tell you, brother, we ought to armor up. I got about four things, and I'm not going to get to them. I can tell you that. But I want to notice just a few things here. I want to notice that one little word there, that word all. I want to say this. Look in Job chapter number 21. Job chapter number 21. In Job chapter number 21, I want to just say this. To the wicked, mock on. Mock on. This is the day of darkness. This is the day of the wicked. Mock on. Look in Job chapter number 21. Look in verse 1. But Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken. Mock on. Just mock on. Are you listening to me? Everybody that knows anything about the book of Job, they know that Job is literally going through hell by the acre. I mean, Satan has literally unleashed the power of hell against Job. Job's lost pretty much everything. I mean, lost his wealth, lost his health, he's lost his family. Can you imagine going to a funeral and you got 10 caskets of your sons and daughters lined up in the front? I mean, pretty much he lost his wife. Somebody one time said, well, the Bible don't say she walked out on him. Well, it don't say she walked out, but with an attitude like that, she might as well have. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you talk like one of them foolish women. Right. Amen? And old Job lost everything. And old Job, I can see him. And he's sitting over there in an ash heap. He's got big old boils all over his body. 10 caskets. Wife walked out on him. Life's wrecked. Life's ruined. And he's sitting there and he's scraping them old boils like mayonnaise. Coming down, he's just dripping off his finger. And about that time, here come Job's friends. You ever met any of them in a Baptist church? Hey, I'm so into pin-up, fundamental, Bible-believing, King John. I'm so Baptist, it's pitiful, but some of those self-righteous, holier-than-thou, mean, hateful people you'll ever meet, go to an independent Baptist church. Hey, boys, I'm going to give you some good advice. When a brother or a sister, when a young person or a family's going through a hard time, one thing they do not need, they don't need some religious, self-righteous, holier-than-thou snob with their nose stuck up in the air coming around, well, you're a hypocrite. Why, if you was living for God, you wouldn't be a living, you wouldn't have all, why, if you was right for God, you'd be healthy and prosperous and all your problems. What universe are you living on? Amen. Job's going through hell. Literally hell by the acre. And then you read right there in verse number 3 where Job pretty much just said this: boys, I'm sick and tired of fussing with you. And I'm paraphrasing, I understand that. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of all this talk and everything. He said, I'm just going to speak my mind. I'm going to tell you what I believe. And then when I'm done, say on. Amen. Well, I want to say that I got a message to this wicked preacher, this wicked, evil, ungodly world that we're living in. I'm talking about the God haters, the Bible deniers, the modernists, the liberals, humanists, socialists, communists, atheists. Go ahead, mock on. I'm talking about those that mock that old-timey religion and that old-timey preaching and praying. Hey, I'm talking about them little communists that march down the street with their fists stuck up in the air. Now, I'll tell you something. Some of you mamas and daddies, you get mad at him, and he's got to live with you. You get mad at me, I ain't going to worry 5 seconds about you. You all right? Some of you, well, I wonder what happened to our children, what happened to our young people. I can tell you what happened. Mamas and daddies, as quick as they graduated from high school, sent them off to some communist college. I mean, to be brainwashed by some pinheaded communist professor. And then they wonder why, I heard you preaching this morning, they wonder why all of a sudden when they come out of college, they got a ponytail and earrings, don't know whether they're male or a female, and they're protesting and riding down the street with their fists stuck up in the air. Everybody look at me. I've been to Cuba. Viva revolution. Social justice. Equality. I've been to Red China. I've been to Vietnam. I've seen all these stinking all these little college kids preacher that want communism in America. They ought to be shipped out for about 3 months to live in a country of communism, and then they'll be thankful that they get to live in this country. Amen. Hey, they can mock on, they can ride on, they can bust out the windows, they can set the police cars on fire, they can mock God, and they can laugh at God. But I want to tell you, friend, God is getting ready to rain down holy hell upon the wicked. It's not going to be nice, friend. Amen. I mean, listen, just mock on. My mama was an unusual lady. My mama was a devout, 100% Jehovah's Witness. She was devoted to the Kingdom Hall, to the Watchtower, and the Awakes. Now, my mama did, about a year before she died, she testified to this. I asked her, and she testified to this, that she was putting her faith. Matter of fact, when she got to be old and they couldn't get no more money out of her, they pretty well just abandoned her. Just in case you're thinking about going to the Kingdom Hall. About a year before she died, preacher, I asked my mama. I said, Mama, I want to know about your salvation. I want to know whether or not I can depend on you going to heaven. And I asked her, and she said that she was putting her faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. You say, well, you believe she is saved? If she put her faith and trust, I don't know about all the other mess, but if she put her faith and trust in the blood, she's saved. Amen. Amen? My mama was unusual, though. I mean, pardon the pun, but she was hell on wheels. She'd kill you in a heartbeat. I think I got my temper from my mama. My daddy was just a liar. He'd get me by the hand. He'd say, now, son, this is going to hurt me more than you. And I think, you lying egg-sucking hound dog. It ain't going to hurt you more than me. I guarantee you that. My mama, though, she told my brother one time to do something, and he didn't do it. She walked in the house with a shovel, and, buddy, she went through the house looking like a weed eater, like that, after my brother. Just like that. And, I mean, she was bad to the bone. And I remember one time her, my brother-in-law, which is my brother-in-law now, wasn't then, and my sister, they had an argument, and they run out of the house. I remember they run out of the house. And I remember they said, we're gonna go to South Carolina. We're going to get married. And I heard, all of a sudden, I heard glass breaking. And about that time, my mama came out, blood running down both elbows like him. And she had literally broke the glass out of the gun cabinet, got my daddy's high-powered rifle, and walked out on the front step, put one shell in, and drove that thing to shit to kill him with sure shooting. My daddy might have got over there and just grabbed that gun like that and just picked it straight up like that and jerked it out. She was bad, son. You did not mess with mama. My mama... I mean, she would have been arrested for child abuse because my mama would literally, she'd say, boy, I'm going to cut the blood out of you if you do that again. And she did it. She did it. And I'm going to say something. She never gave me a licking that I didn't deserve. I believe every once in a while you ought to give a child a licking every once in a while just because they did something you didn't catch them doing. I'm a kid, and if it's on video... But I remember I'd look over at my mama. I'd do something dumb, stupid, which is really, I was 21 years old when I got saved. And I'd look over at my mom and I'd done something dumb and stupid. And I have this little sheepish little grin on my face. And she'd say, boy, and some of you ladies, you probably said the same thing. She said, boy, if you don't take that grin off your face, I'm going to wipe it off your face. You know what that meant? You know what that meant? That meant holy hell is getting ready to rain down on you. Listen. I say to the wicked, Brother Carter, keep a preaching it. I say to the wicked, hey, those that hate God, mock at the Bible. Hey, I want to tell you, you mark her down your day. Hey, have a good time, live it up. Your day is coming. God is going to rain down holy hell upon the wicked one day. I like the story over there in Daniel chapter number 5 where Belshazzar, he wasn't like his daddy Nebuchadnezzar. Now, boys, y'all learn something about this. Belshazzar, he didn't just make a mistake. Nebuchadnezzar, he made a bad mistake. Belshazzar didn't make no mistake. He knew better. Hey, it's one thing to sin against God. It's another thing to go against God. Say, well, I know it's wrong, and I see what God's going to do, and I know what God, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's presumptuously self-willed sin. And I want to tell you, you can commit the sin and the death. You don't hear a lot of preaching about that. Dr. Carter getting ready to get into that on first Sunday. Amen? Belshazzar decided... He's going to have him a wing-ding. He's going to have him a big old party. And boy, I mean, he had everybody there was going to be there. And all of a sudden, I mean, then they begin to drink and party and live it up. And all of a sudden, old Belshazzar, when he got drunk, he told his servants, he said, go get the vessels that my father took out of the house of God in Jerusalem. And they brought them vessels, and they drank wine out of them, and they worshiped the gods of silver and the gods of wood and the gods of stone. You better listen carefully, I'm getting ready to say. You want to live like hell? That's your business. You want to throw your life down the drain for drugs and alcohol, pornography? You want to wreck your life, ruin your life, destroy your life? That's your business. But I'll give you some real good advice, and I believe these pastors up here will agree with me. You better keep your dirty, filthy hands off of the holy things of God. Amen. You touch the holy thing. You touch that blessed old King James Bible right there. I mean, you touch the house of God. You touch the man of God. Hey, you defile the holy things of God. God could put you in a premature grave. You say, well, preacher, you say you're just dumb and you're stupid and you're uneducated and you don't know what you're talking about. Mock on. Because your days are coming. Number two, right quickly. I got to hurry. Number two, not only mock on, but press on. Look at Philippians. Turn your Bible, look at Philippians chapter number 3. In Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I got a lot of stuff, but I'm already running out to spend too much time right there. And the Apostle Paul here, verse number 2, he said, beware of dogs. That ain't talking about them four-legged dogs. Talking about them two-legged dogs. Ain't talking about them pit bulls and them German shepherds and them vicious chihuahuas. You know what I'm talking about. They'll tear the fingers off of you. He's talking about them two-legged dogs behind pulpits. Imagine that. For the sake of time, verse number 8 talks about all the things that he left, that he lost when he got saved. And he said, I count them but dung. You know what dung is? Okay. I guess you college kids, you know what that is. You know what it is in the Hebrew, in the Greek? It's dung. You know what it is according to my daddy? I ain't going to tell you. That I may win Christ. My daddy was the same man, but he was plain. Notice verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's a blessing. That'll be shouting grounds right there. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse number 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Notice this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying there? He's saying, I'm just going to press on. How we sing that song every once in a while in our church. Press on. It won't be long until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on. Press on. Press on. It won't be long. I challenge you and I charge you just to fight the good fight of faith and just press on. Never, ever, ever quit. You know what? One of the biggest problems in our fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches are we've lost our fight. We've lost our fight. I'm talking to some right now in this building, right now in this great church. I mean, you say, preacher, I'm just tired. Tired of the fight. Preacher, I'm tired of the battles. I'm tired of the troubles and the trials and the hardships. And preacher, you try to sell out to God and surrender to the Lord and serve God. And seem like the harder I try to serve God, the more battles they are and the problems they are. You say, oh, preacher, you say, I thought when I got saved, I thought I was going to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, and all of my troubles was going to be over. Where'd you get that from? You had to get that from Joel Osteen because you didn't get that out of the Bible. God never told you you're going to be healthy, wealthy, or prosperous. Matter of fact, he said, through much tribulation must we enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? I remember one time I had a dog, and I loved that dog. Honestly, preacher, I know where it came from. And a dog's a man's best friend. Of course, they're not. They're ruling out Jesus, of course. I got this dog as a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. That dog loved me better more than my wife did. I'm serious. Been married to the same woman for 45 years. You say, what would you do if she left? I'd pack up and leave with her. You ain't leaving me, honey. I'm too old to find another. Amen. I'd come home after being gone on a mission trip or something like that. That dog would meet me at the gate, that tail just a wagging. Am I telling the truth? I mean, that dog would jump up on me and lick me. My wife, 45 years, she ain't never met me at the gate wagging her tail. And if she was here, I wouldn't say that. Well, you're a hypocrite. Whatever, say on, brother. I remember that one of my neighbors had three bulldogs. And I told him and 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 told him. I said, you need to keep them bulldogs chained up, tied up, fenced up. I said, they're coming over in my yard and they're attacking my dog. And I said, you need to keep them put up. And one day I pulled up in the driveway My dog was laid out there, and them bulldogs were just pulling her. Three of them pulling her in different pieces, just pulling him like that, pulling him like that. Well, when I got out of the car, I was already mad. And when I got out of the car, I pulled my 38, and I shot one, killed one immediately like that. The other two took off for running, and I shot the other one all the way through the chest, through here, and it run off in the neighbor's yard. And I went into the neighbor's yard with my 38 loaded, cocked. And if my neighbor had stepped out, I'd have probably killed him. My mama was bad. Did I tell you my mama was bad to the bone? But I pulled up our preacher, and that my dog just laying there, and them bulls just pitting them bulldog just pulling it here and there. Wasn't fighting no more. You know why? Why he wasn't fighting? Because he'd lost the fight. You know what I'm seeing in our fundamental? And I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about in good churches. Preacher, they're tired of fighting. They're tired of all the battles. They're tired of all the troubles. They're tired of all the trials. It seems like no matter what they can do, I want to charge you. I challenge you. I don't care how hard it gets, how bad the storms get, how bad the troubles and the trials and the battles get, the disappointments, never quit. I said never quit. Never quit. Never quit. Press on. Press on. I mean, just keep on, but never quit on God. We're close. I believe we're close, so close. Preacher, you said springtime. I've been hoping and praying for fall. I was hoping for September, the middle of September. Don't ask me why, because I ain't going to get into it, but I was. I was very disappointed. But if the Lord, you say, well, preacher, what if the Lord don't come today? I'll look for him tomorrow. What if he don't come tomorrow? I'll look for him the next day. What if he don't come the next day? I'll look for him the next day. What if he don't come this week? I'll look for him next week. What if he don't come next week? I'll look for him next month. What if he don't come this year? I'll look for him next year. I'll tell you, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But I believe with all of my heart and with all, we are this close, friend. We are this close to the greatest event that's ever going to take place in our life. I believe that any day, any time, any moment, any second, the trumpet of the Lord could sound and Jesus step out on the clouds of glory, and we're leaving this old world in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No more battles, no more troubles, no more trials. What are we going to do, preacher, until the Lord comes back? Press on. Press on, press on, never quit, never quit, never give up, just press on until Jesus comes back. 2 Samuel 19:40, I love the story about King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. But yet King David, as you students know, had a lot of battles, a lot of problems, troubles, and trials. I mean, wrestle with a bear. Fought a bear, fought a lion, fought a giant, and won all three. Listen carefully what I'm getting ready to say. He whooped a bear. He whooped a lion. He whooped a giant. But that stinking stuff right there destroyed him. His biggest enemy was himself. His biggest enemy was that stinking flesh. Amen. I mean, David went through a lot of battles, but y'all know the story, and I'm not here to glorify David's sin. But David laid out of the battle. I guarantee you, if David could come and stand right behind that pulpit right now, and you could say, David, you have any regrets? I guarantee you, he'd said this: I regret it 10,000 times over that I didn't go to war that day. I wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't stayed at home. I wish I hadn't never walked up on that balcony. I wish I hadn't never looked off. I wish I'd never seen that woman, Bathsheba. By the way, ladies, takes two to tango, my daddy always told me. You said, well, he didn't have to look. She didn't have to give him something to look at. You said, well, she didn't know. I got land south of the Florida Keys to sell you, if you believe that. Amen. You got, I mean, preacher, tell me if I, you just tell me to move on. But I hear all this stuff going on about these women. 20 years ago, some man sexually assaulted. 20 years ago. We are open season on any female. Hey, ladies, you listen to me. Don't come up 20 years ago so-and-so touched me. You're a lying, egg-sucking hound dog. If you was that worried about it, you'd have done something about it 20 years ago. I'm going to give you some good advice. Young ladies, if a boy touches you, if a man improperly, is that that word? Improperly, properly, whatever it is. If they touch you, don't go, well, I'm just afraid. I don't want... No, this is what you do. You take that hand and you knock the holy stuffings out of them. You take your fist and you knock every tooth in their head out. I'll guarantee you that buzzard will never touch you again. Bathsheba, preacher, you're not going to convince me anyway. I think she's just as guilty as David was. Amen? These, I'm a nasty woman. You're a blooming idiot. Ashley Judd, all of them are. Am I all right, preacher? Can I go on? I forgot where I was at. Just press on. David, listen. It said what that verse I gave you right there. I saw you girls turning. What did I say that was? Huh? 1940, where the Bible says, and David went on. Is that it? Okay. David went on. Preacher, he didn't let nothing. You better learn this. You better learn this early in your Christian life. David let nothing stand in his way. No matter how many times he failed, no matter how many times he messed up, no matter how many battles and storms, troubles and trials that he went through, David just went on. Amen. He paid for it. He paid for it. His daughter Tamar was raped. Amnon, his son, was killed by his own brother. I mean, Absalom, his own son, tried to kill his daddy and steal away the kingdom. The sword never departed from the house of David. But no matter what David went through, he just went on. He just went on and pressed on. He never let anything stop him or stand in his way. Just press on. I know it's not easy. Just keep on. I charge you. I exhort you, O people of God. Preacher, just keep on. Press on. It don't matter if they roll their eyes at you and huff and puff because they've heard it 1,000 times. Just press on. Am I all right? Just press on. I don't care how hard it gets. Just keep on, walk on, press on, never quit, never give up, never give in, never surrender, never retreat, press on, press on. Praise God, it won't be long until we reach that land of song in heaven some sweet day. I'm going there to stay. Press on, press on, it won't be long. To the wicked, you just walk on. Your days are coming, cowboy.
Yes, sir. Right.
All these poor, dumb, stupid Christians that don't know what they're missing, you're going to find out one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen? Hey, you servants of the Lord, just press on.
Amen.
Just press on, press on, press on. Let me just say last time, my time's run out. I'm not only going to get the message. Not only do you mock on, not only do you press on, but I want to say this, just sleep on. Turn your Bible, look with me, Matthew chapter number 26, and I'm going to stop. In Matthew chapter number 26, very, very familiar chapter. In Matthew chapter number 26, look in verse number 45. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 45. Jesus here, he came to his disciples. The Bible said, then he answered them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not, and was the least of these. That ain't the right one. 26, 45, where am I at? Okay, verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on. Sleep on. Take your rest. Jesus here went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said that he prayed three times with such great agony that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Took with him Peter and James and John. Getting ready to say something very important. Getting ready to say something very important, especially you young preachers. Oh, Peter, I like Peter. Now, I like Peter. I'm not criticizing Peter. But old Peter, I mean, he told the Lord, he said, the Lord said, every one of you is going to be offended of me because of this night. Peter said, I'll never be offended. And when they come to take Jesus, Peter drew his sword like that. And boy, he took a swipe like that, chopped off the servant's ear. And I imagine the servant began to scream, you cut off my ear! You cut off my... He said, I'm sorry, I was aiming for your stinking head. Took with him Peter and James and John. And he said, you boys, you just watch with me, tarry with me, pray with me while I go yonder and pray. And the Bible said he went about as far as you could throw a rock, cast a stone. He fell on his knees and began to pray. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he came back to the disciples, and they were sound asleep. And he said, what, Peter? Can't you watch and pray 1 hour? I mean, Peter's willing to die. He said, well, Lord, I'll fight. I'll bleed. I'll die for you. And the Lord said, well, you can't even stay awake 1 hour and pray. See, we got a generation, preacher, that when they hear something about like what happened in Texas, they say, well, bless God, pray. I'll tell you what, I ain't afraid to die. You can't even live for the Lord. Right. The average independent Baptist Christian can't go to church 3 times a week. Yeah. They can't read their Bible every day. They can't pray 15 minutes a day. Hey, if you won't live for him now, you will not die for him later. Went away the second time and prayed. Went away the third time when he came back. Some of the saddest words, preacher. Every time I read it, I think, oh God, don't let that be me. Looked at his disciples and said, sleep on. Sleep on. I don't claim to be spiritual. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be anything great, but a great sinner saved by a great God with great mercy and great grace. But I want to tell you, I'm afraid, and I don't know nothing about it. I have nothing, preacher, I don't have nothing to do with the liberal churches. I don't know why. They don't never invite me to preach. I don't have nothing to do with the liberal. I don't know anything about the Methodists, the Lutherans. I don't know anything. I mean, I know about their doctrines and everything, but I don't know them. But I know something about independent Baptists. Preacher, if we're the cream of the crop, we're in trouble. If we're the cream of the crop, we're in trouble. The church of the living God, and I'm talking about us, the majority of churches and preachers and pastors, Sunday school teachers, church workers, members are sound asleep on God. Sound asleep. And I'm telling you, we're not going to wake up until we wake up too late. I'll give you this. I love the deer hunt. I love the deer hunt. When I first walked in and I seen these two little balconies, I thought, man, I tell you what, if I was out in the woods, that'd be a good place to deer hunt. Be a good tree stand. I love to deer hunt. I love it. I mean, I told the story at our church about this two men that went out early one morning. There's a deer hunting. And about 10 o'clock, there's in a box stand. And about 10 o'clock, they looked, and here come a funeral procession coming down the road. One of the deer hunters stood up like that, took his hat off and put it under his arm, put his hand over his heart like that, and began just to weep and cry. After the funeral procession went on down the road, the other hunter said, man, I've never seen such respect and such reverence for a funeral. He said, yeah, I know. But I was married to her for 35 years, you know. I love the deer hunt. Do you know what the number one danger? How many of you got deer hunters in here? We haven't. I know this is Florida. Well, that's good. I saw a big old buck killed on the road right up here. I didn't think they was that big in Florida. But one of the biggest dangers deer hunting is it's not getting shot. The biggest danger in deer hunting is you fall asleep in the tree stand and you fall out and you break your neck or you break your back. I know that for a fact. My son was about 14 years old. I took him hunting and I said he'd stand up over here in this tree. And I put it, I've been, because I've hunted enough. And preacher, I put it, when I went up with the tree stand, I pulled it around like that, which right over a big old rhododendron, what would Florida Floridians call it? Big old bush. And boy, right about daylight, all of a sudden I heard the awful sound, and I looked, and all of a sudden that big old bush, it just come a flying up like a whoosh. And I look, and my boy's laying on the ground. And he gets up. He looks up, looks down, he looks up. You know what happened? He fell asleep. You know why a lot of Christians mess up? Why they fall? Why they mess up their ministry? You know why they mess up their life, their home, their family, their marriage? Because they fall asleep on God. Then number two, you know why a lot of deer hunters never kill a deer? I've seen hunters that hunted all their life and said, preacher, I've hunted all my life and I ain't never killed a deer. You know what the biggest problem is? They can't stay awake. Can't go out there, they fall asleep. I don't know whether it's true or not. My daddy told me, said this man one time went out deer hunting, and he bought his license, got him a high-powered rifle, and went out in the woods and kind of said, put him down a cushion like that. And he sat back like that, leaned up against the tree. And he just sitting there like that and hunting, and all of a sudden, he woke up. You ever done that before? He woke up like that. When he woke up, he looked about as far as from here, that lady right there. It was a dream, man. I mean a trophy buck was standing there. And when he woke up, he went, oh, like that. And the deer went. You know what happened? He missed an opportunity to get a dream. He missed an opportunity to get a trophy. You know why? He fell asleep. Preacher, I'm not going to get the message. I'm going to read one verse and I'm done. Turn your Bible, look in Romans chapter 13. This is on your brochure. About the Bible conference, Romans chapter number 13. I'm not real fond. I told Brother Carl this is one of them chapters that I don't really particularly like. And by the way, it's not talking about obeying a tyrannical communist government. It's talking about obeying an officer of the law. If an officer says stop, stop. If he says, drop the gun, drop the gun. If he says, get on the ground, get on the ground. Do what he says to do, because he is the minister of God. I just said that, though. It ain't got nothing to do with the message. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not like the people walking down the street with their fists stuck up in the air, breaking out windows and burning cars. Drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, and strife and envy. But here is the armor. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, he's saying, armor up. Armor up. In John chapter number 6, I love the story over there where Jesus is, he's given the great discourse about the bread of life. Preacher, I've already went 5 minutes over what I said. I'm okay. Okay. And of course he taught, you know, the great, and I'm hurrying along about, he said, you must drink my blood, eat my flesh, or you have no life in you. In John chapter 6, verse 66, John 6:66, it said, and many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. Now this is where the crossroad, this is where you're going to come in. Because the Lord is looking down. The Lord's going to ask you and me the same question. The Lord looked at his 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? You're going to quit too? Everybody else quit, you're going to quit? Because things don't go the way you thought they'd go, you're going to quit? I mean, because you go to a battle, because something bad happens you don't understand, you're going to quit too? Peter said this, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Brother, I've been in this thing, I've been saved now for 45 years. No, 43 years, been married for 45. That's a battle. I mean, that's a blessing. Don't you dare tell my wife I said that. She's a blessing. And 43 years of serving God, 38 years preaching, 36 years pastoring the same church. I'm telling you, folks, we've done come too far to go back now. To the wicked, mock on. Your days are coming. Am I all right? To you servants of the Lord, you just think, preacher, I'm just tired of fighting. Press on. One more day, one more mile, one more mountain, one more valley. Just press on. Don't quit. Don't quit. And to that saint of God that's fallen asleep, this is your wake-up call. You better wake up, or you're going to miss your opportunity to serve God. Father, I pray something been said to help, challenge, and encourage. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. God's spoken to us tonight. He'd like to wake some of us up. He'd like for some of us to keep on pressing on at 100 reasons to quit. We need preaching like this to wake us up, to fire us up, to get the fight back in us. We're near the finish line. We need to run harder instead of slowing up. I challenge you tonight. You might have come in here tonight and you say, well, I just barely made myself come. I just barely got through another Sunday. I just barely made it a week. My friend, we are close, but we're to charge on. We're not to quit. I challenge you tonight, if you made a vow to God, wake me up, Lord. I don't want to stand before you and realize I quit just before the finish line. Just before you let me finish my course, I gave up. That's happening to a lot of people. I read the story where an army chaplain called a preacher, said, do you have a certain Sunday school teacher? Do you have Miss So-and-so still teaching? He said, why? He said, because I just prayed with a boy as he died on the battlefield. And he said his last words was to tell Sister So-and-so that taught me as a youngster in Sunday school how much she meant to me, that I was still faithful to God. And the pastor said, I'm sorry to tell you, chaplain, but she just got discouraged and resigned. Keep going, no telling what God's doing with you that you don't know about, whose life you've reached, influenced. In a world that's tearing itself to pieces, evil and hate like never before,
We're needed worse than ever before, folks. If we ever run for the Lord, we ought to run now. If we've ever been faithful, we ought to be faithful now. I'm going to ask Hector to lead us in a verse of invitation. Could be somebody's here not saved tonight. I want to tell you something. If you knew what us preachers and Christians knew about the Bible and how it's being fulfilled and how quickly things are coming to a head, you wouldn't walk down that aisle. You'd run down that aisle to receive Jesus. You don't have any other hope. We're trying to tell you that. If I fear anything standing before God, it's the having the blood of others on my hands that I didn't warn. And if I know my heart, I want to be warning right on to the last minute that Jesus is coming. There is a judgment to face. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we challenge you to come to the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and how you can know it. Let's sing a verse of invitation, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender.
This morning, a lot of folks went to church. We had a pretty good sized crowd here this morning. Other churches, good churches across the land, had people gather in. Nobody expected a little church in Texas with maybe 50 people for most of them to be shot up, most of them killed. Nobody thought about that when they were getting dressed for Sunday school out there. But it happened. Could have been us, could have been others. When the preacher gets up and warns that we don't know what another day brings forth, that's Bible and that's truth, and experience bears it out time to time. Good man got up and dressed for Sunday school this morning. Brother Plowman told me he was fully dressed and apparently heading out. But he never got out the door. He fell dead. It might be me next week, might be you, might be any of us tomorrow. I don't want to step into God's presence. Found out I quit too soon. Good message for us tonight. Brother Goose gets the job done. God's used him to build a great church, be faithful all these years. No telling how many souls has been won under his preaching. We'll hear from him again this week, and we'll hear from others like him. Well, maybe not like him, but close. He is one of a kind for sure, one of God's best, amen. Take time to shake his hand tonight. Let him know you appreciate him coming and preaching for us, And then tomorrow night, 6:59, right? 6:59 tomorrow night. We'll be back and pray about it. And by the way, let's wake up enough to tell somebody else to come. You can invite lost people to a meeting like this. It's a good place for them to get saved. And you can encourage them to come. Some of you kids in school, invite your friends. You do that. And you college students, if you can find a friend, invite them, amen. All joking aside, turn around and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.